First of all, I want to say hooray for the three P's, the pens, the pirates, and the poets. Anybody who's here tonight gets extra points. And I was looking through my paper today, and I suddenly realized that it is Bob Dylan's 75th birthday. So let's give him a big shout out. And I'd like to open with a poem that has a Dylan-esque title. If you wait long enough, it won't matter anymore. Cheese grows its green fur coat. Ice cream melts and deposits chocolate chips along your forearm. You forget why you're looking under the kitchen sink. It's time for another commercial break, but you can't afford the lapsed synapse, the gate that's been swinging in the wind since your father died. Calendar pages close, old letters drift like dried leaves, while you stand still as oxidizing bronze, a target for rain and relentless squadrons of pigeons. Earth spins, an hourglass firmly fixed to its fat black abdomen as the Milky Way transforms to a dusty cocoon. The For a Good Time phone number keyed on the door of the bathroom stall was disconnected years ago. Woolworths is defunct with its squawking parakeets and the Mexican jumping beans you and your brother freed from their plastic cases. The World Wrestling Federation occupies the brain injury ward at the local rehab hospital. Elvis appears in a hopped-up Mustang for an encore of Love Me Tender. Change jobs, cities, hairstyles. 6 feet under, your significant other loses significance. All those I love yous you meant to murmur in her hair boomerang back, ricochet off your own ears, the warped mirror of human vanity. Nothing but echoes from the fun house. I'm the one that works as an occupational therapist, and I go into the whole East End, and Pittsburgh is so full of fascinating people. I've had the privilege to work with Teresa Hines Cook, with I don't know if you've ever heard of the photographer Margaret Bork White, her camera boy, off-Broadway actresses, Harvard lawyers, and the man who cleans the inside of garbage trucks. So it's really a wonderful opportunity for me. And when I was thinking about what to read tonight, I thought I'd do some with some of these characters. And the first poem that I'm going to read on that line is called Miss Minnie Tells Me How to Cure Mumps with a Hog Jaw. First, you butcher the hog and hang it to dry. After a day or so, take the jawbone, break it open and collect the marrow. Mix this with turpentine and make an ointment. Smear this along the person's jowls. Tie his head up with a rag under the chin and knot it on top. You want to be sure to do this with the men folks, she says with a wink. Mumps can rob them down there. Out back, I help her stake and tie up plants. As the black-eyed boxer puppy, Deja, climbs my thigh, his paws oversized for spindly legs, she tells me about her son. I have to take care of him. Henry don't have no sense. Every day he gets up and wants to put on his Sunday clothes, and would, too, if I weren't here to tell him it's not time. She spent her youth picking cotton, Crawfordsville, Georgia. Three young'uns and only one good breast for milk. Every morning, she says, I squeezed it out for the baby girl. Every night when I came home, that milk was gone. Them two boys drank every last drop. My breast was too hot from the sun, and that baby bawled on and on. Had to wait till my body cooled down. Lordy, what a racket. Henry sits on the porch, smiling, talking to every stranger who happens by. He's parked on a rusting metal lawn chair, chained to the porch wall. Minnie gives me some advice. Don't let anybody give you a ride to the bank on payday. A few weeks back, two men dressed up like cops took an old man from his house down to the teller window, cleaned out his account, and left him confused. His poor wife nearly died of worry. Young people want more drugs. She hates drugs. Gambling, too. Tells me betting cost her husband his clothes, then his life. She goes on, after I buried him, another man came round. People called me crazy, but what I want with him? I met him with a shotgun and three baying hounds. My husband and I met at the oldest poetry series in Laguna Beach on the West Coast. And so we had a lot of friends out there. And sometimes when you can't think of anything to write at all, a really fun thing to do is just write a letter. So I'll pretend, hypothetically, that I wrote this today, though I wrote it a while back. May 24th, 2016. Dear Winnie, I wish it were Wednesday and we could sit on the roof of the Rockport, Texas McDonald's and throw dollar fish sandwiches at the alligators while the murky arms of the bayou stretch out to God only knows where. After talking to you, I'm not numb, only dumb as roots grown underground. I fear you were right. Intellectuals do suffer from crotch rot, severe hemorrhoids. Have you ever known any who could sit still? That explains why the pants change, but the gray suit remains an unimaginative staple for life. As I noted, I can now secure a bed rail with dental floss, wax a walker with a bar of soap, WD-40 locks, breaks, and joints, crazy glue splints, and sew bear heads back on slippers. My brother leaves for Korea next month, a three-year assignment, and I failed to point out he's an adjunct to war. Think of the AA meetings he'll miss. You told me I'm too well acquainted with chain stores while you're in the land of 17 faction Baptist congregations and blood-spattered Catholic saints. Bad weather and the HEB, Herbert Edgar Butt's grocery store, are too far north to bother with. You spelled it out for me, M-U-S-E-U-M. You recommended I get out once in a while. My body is a museum, one that hasn't been visited often. I'm sitting with the flowers this afternoon beneath a gust of white hyacinth. How many of the poets we knew are gone? Alan, the physicist from Cal Poly Tech. Dean, who kept beer and ketchup in the fridge and strummed his guitar under motel signs. Rick, who swore off politics but couldn't stay out of the paper. Faces and voices have outlived the names. The West Coast must be gorgeous about now, and we are elsewhere. The woman who lived for 12 years with my husband called last month to wish him a happy birthday. She sent packets of photographs 3,000 miles from the life he left. As always, I wish you were here, but I will think of you and the alligators there, though it's Tuesday. Love, Aaron. P.S. Did I tell you I regularly file nails and cut hair? That the microwave dial stayed on for years with chewing gum. Okay, thanks. I'll just close with another one kind of written about my work again. This one's called Goodbye to Summer. A summer of casualties, loss is mounting, the war in Iraq, my next door neighbor gone, then Uncle John. Aunt Lila brings his ashes in an urn on his birthday for a ceremonial farewell. Cousin Susan, shuttled from ICU to ICU, now takes 100 steps. Toward what? The light, perhaps. When Ken reads the sonnet ending in death by carbon monoxide, I find myself locked out of my own car, still idling, keys in the ignition. Stranded, I remember that summer Rick left his Bronco in park. I tell another poet how, just weeks before, Rick was hit in the head by a flying metal shard. I insist that it helps to be visually impaired or head injured if one wants to be a poet. My husband's perception skewed by nettleship albinism, a strange blue lightning scar by my left eye. No Van Gogh ever glimpsed Giverny through a clear camera lens. This morning, charred grass strains its empty bed toward fringes of green pecked at by two wild turkeys before the coming gold, scarlets, and tangerines. Nature's fireworks of the living departing. I think of stroke patients' whole visual fields vanished, how I must teach them to turn their heads and scan to see what does not easily register to them. I remember Rose, blind in one eye, who takes a circuitous route to rest. Suddenly, words blur the page, silverware slips from a hand. The detritus of a hurricane could be yours or mine. Whole houses capsized and known lives sacrificed to mysterious black waters. At 92, Loretta asks me if I know about Methuselah, tells me he didn't die, but wandered off, never to be seen again. Cataracts in both eyes, she insists, when it's my time, I just want to step out, walk in faith.